All right, so you know how sometimes when you're really trying to get a handle on like fairness and opportunity in law, you just keep bumping into the same cases over and over
Oh,
again?
yeah, for sure.
Fisher v. University of Texas at Austin.
Huge one.
That's one of those, isn't it?
It
Yeah.
is.
And the fact that it went to the Supreme Court not once but twice
Exactly.
kind of tells you that like this thing is touching on some really, really deep questions about equality in education.
Yeah, absolutely foundational questions.
So yeah, we've got decisions, we've got analysis, and our goal today is to kind of go beyond just the legal stuff and like really grasp, what was going on in this case, particularly I think because there's been so much back and forth about affirmative action in recent years.
Yeah, and I mean, just for anyone who's trying to make sense of equal protection, right, especially in higher education,
Yeah.
Fisher is just, you can't get around it.
Yeah.
You know, both of the decisions in 2013 and then again in 2016, they give us so much insight into how the court was approaching strict scrutiny and affirmative action. And I mean, even though things have shifted again with the Students for Fair Admissions case
Yeah.
in 2023, right, like Fisher is still really essential.
Okay, so I guess the place to start is with UT Austin's admissions policy itself, right?
Okay.
Because it wasn't just like you get in because your grades and test scores are good.
Right.
They had this kind of two-track system.
Yeah, a two-tiered system. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first track was automatic admission, and that was for students who graduated in the top 10% of their class
Oh,
from
yeah.
any high school in Texas.
Wow.
So that actually took up a pretty big chunk of their incoming class, like something like three quarters.
Really?
Yeah, and then the rest of the spots, they use what they called a holistic review.
Oh, okay. And I think that's where things get a little more complicated.
For sure.
So, what did that holistic review actually look at?
So they wanted to kind of get a much bigger picture of the applicant, right? Not just their academics. So it looked at leadership roles, extracurriculars, what the students were writing about in their essays. And really central to this whole case, their race.
Okay.
You know, and their idea was that by taking all this stuff into account, they'd end up with a much richer learning environment for everyone.
Okay, so that brings us to Abigail Fisher.
Right.
What was her argument, and like, how did this whole thing, blow up into this major Supreme Court case?
So Abigail Fisher was a white student. She applied to UT in 2008, didn't get in.
Okay.
And because she wasn't in that top 10%, her application went through the holistic review. And she basically said that by using race as part of that process, UT was violating the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment,
Right.
which says everyone's supposed to get equal protection under the law.
Yeah, and our sources show us that like she was a good student, but
Yeah.
her record wasn't like top tier,
Right.
the kind of student that would usually get in through that holistic review. So
Right.
she was basically saying that race worked against her.
Yeah, that's her argument.
So the first time this case went to the Supreme Court in 2013, Fisher, they didn't actually like rule on whether the policy itself was okay or not.
Right, they didn't.
So what happened?
So in Fisher, what they did is they vacated the decision from the Fifth Circuit, right? Which had upheld the lower court's ruling that said UT was in the right.
Okay.
But the Supreme Court's big concern was that the lower courts hadn't really applied strict scrutiny in the right way.
Okay, so strict scrutiny, like this is like a super important legal term.
It is. Yeah, it's everything here.
Can you unpack that a little bit? Like, what does it actually mean, especially when we're talking about affirmative action?
Yeah, so strict scrutiny is the highest level of review that courts use when they're looking at laws or policies that classify people based on certain characteristics, right? And race is definitely one of those.
Right.
To get through strict scrutiny, the government, in this case, the University of Texas, has to really clear a high bar.
Okay.
They have to show two things. One, that the policy helps a compelling government interest.
Okay.
And two, that the policy is narrowly tailored to achieve that specific interest.
Okay, so they have to prove it's really, really important and that there's no other way to do it.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's got to be super specific.
So basically, in Fisher, the Supreme Court was saying to the lower courts, like, hey, you need to look way closer at whether UT actually met both of those parts of strict scrutiny. Like, don't just take their word for it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to scrutinize this,
Okay.
you know, and the university, it's on them to prove that their admissions policy is really narrowly tailored to get those educational benefits of diversity.
Right.
They can't just be like, oh, yeah, we like diversity.
Right.
They've got to show that they've really thought about other options that don't use race
Okay.
and that those just wouldn't work.
So they had to prove that they had tried other stuff and it didn't work.
Right. And that this was kind of the only way to do it.
Wow.
Like, show us the evidence that you've really explored all the other options and that using race is really necessary, and you're doing it in the most limited way possible.
Okay, so the case goes back down to the Fifth Circuit, they look at it again, and then somehow it ends up back at the Supreme Court in 2016.
I know, it's wild, right?
Fisher Tick.
Round two.
So what was different this time that led to, like, a different outcome?
So in Fisher Teth, in a 4-3 decision, the Supreme Court actually upheld UT's admissions policy.
Wow. Okay.
And this time, Justice Kennedy, he wrote the majority opinion, and he said that UT had actually met those strict scrutiny requirements.
Okay.
And the court agreed with the precedent set in Grutter v. Bollinger,
mm-hmm,
that having a diverse student body,
yeah,
is a compelling government interest.
All right. So the compelling interest part was good to go, thanks to Grutter.
Pretty much, yeah.
But it seemed like in Fisher, the big issue was the narrowly tailored part.
Totally.
So how did UT convince the court that their policy met that in Fisher II?
So in Fisher says, and the court said UT's policy was indeed narrowly tailored.
Okay.
And Justice Kennedy said that this was because UT had done all this review.
Mm-hmm.
They showed that they looked at other ways to do it.
Like what? Yeah, like the top 10% plan.
Right.
But they said those didn't get them the level of diversity they felt they needed for their educational mission.
Okay.
So the court said UT's holistic review, where race was just one factor among many.
Yeah.
And only used for some of the applicants.
Okay.
It was okay because it was like a last resort after they tried all these other things.
So they proved that considering race was the only way to get the diversity they wanted.
Right. And it wasn't about quotas or reserving spots for certain races.
Right.
It was about looking at the whole person and what they could bring to the university. And race was just one piece of that.
Okay, but this wasn't like a unanimous decision, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
There were some pretty big disagreements, weren't there?
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Justice Thomas wrote this really strong dissent,
mm-hmm,
basically saying that anytime you classify people based on race, it's just wrong.
Wow.
And that wanting diversity isn't a good enough reason to use race in admissions.
Okay.
He's all about a colorblind constitution.
And then you have Justice Alito also disagreeing with the majority.
Yeah.
And saying similar things about how using race is just not okay.
So this was a really divided court.
Very.
Okay. But I want to make sure we really get this whole strict scrutiny thing.
Okay, yeah. Let's break it down.
We know it has those two parts, right?
Two prongs.
Yeah. A compelling governmental interest and narrow tailoring.
Yes.
So what do those really mean, like, in practice, especially in this case with UT?
So like we've been saying, the compelling interest that UT had and that the court agreed with based on Grutter was that having a diverse student body is really good for education.
Okay.
It's not just about, like, checking boxes. It's about having different viewpoints and experiences in the classroom.
Right.
And that helps everyone learn and grow and be ready for a world that's increasingly diverse.
Okay. So diversity is good for learning.
Yeah,
got it.
Exactly.
And the narrow tailoring, this seems like a really high bar to clear.
Oh, yeah. It's not easy.
Like, it's not enough for a university to just say, we like diversity, so we're going to use race in admissions, right?
No way.
Like, what else has to happen?
So narrow tailoring has a few key parts.
Okay.
One of the biggest is necessity.
Okay.
The university has to show that using this policy is absolutely necessary to get that diversity they want,
mm-hmm,
which means they have to prove that they can't get the same results using other methods that don't involve race.
Right. And the court in Fisher, I was really clear that the university has to prove this.
100%.
The courts aren't just going to trust them.
Right. They need to see the receipt.
Yeah. Like real evidence that other options were considered and tested and just didn't work.
Exactly.
And that was the key difference between Fisher and Fisher II, wasn't it?
It really was.
In the second case, the court decided that UT had done enough to show that they had looked at other ways to do it.
Right. They showed their work.
Yeah.
UT gave the court data and analysis showing that while the top 10% plan did bring some diversity in terms of geography, it wasn't enough to reach the level of racial and ethnic diversity that they felt they needed.
So they had to do something more.
Yeah, they argued, and the court agreed, that looking at race as part of the holistic review.
Okay.
You know, just one factor out of many and only for some of the applicants.
Right.
That was necessary to really get the diversity they were aiming for.
Is that the only way?
The court called it a last resort.
Okay.
And remember, it wasn't about setting specific numbers for different races.
Right.
It was about getting a fuller picture of each student. And race was just one piece of that.
Okay. So Fisher II was a big deal. It seemed like it said that if you do affirmative action carefully,
yeah,
it could be okay.
Right. It gave schools a path forward.
But then in 2023, we had the Students for Fair Admissions v. Harvard decision.
Right, which kind of changed everything.
Yeah. So how does Fisher even fit into things now that the whole legal landscape is so different?
Okay. So Students for Fair Admissions basically overturned a bunch of previous rulings about using race in college admissions.
Including Fisher II.
Including Fisher II.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The court said pretty clearly that race can't be a factor in admissions decisions anymore.
So Fisher II doesn't really apply anymore.
Not directly. Yeah.
But you said earlier that Fisher is still important.
Oh, it is.
So why is that?
Because even though Fisher II doesn't really have the same impact anymore,
right,
it's still a great way to understand how the court used to think about affirmative action.
Okay.
It's a really detailed example of how they applied strict scrutiny in this specific area. It shows us what universities had to do to prove that they were using race in the right way.
Before 2023.
Right, before everything changed.
Okay.
So it's really helpful for anyone who wants to learn about constitutional law.
Yeah.
Or civil rights history. Or how the idea of equal protection has changed over time.
Okay, so even though universities can't directly consider race anymore.
Right.
The ideas that were so important in Fisher, like compelling interest and narrow tailoring, and the fact that the burden of proof is on the university. Those are still important for how courts look at policies that treat people differently based on certain characteristics.
Absolutely. They're still the foundation.
Even if it's not about race anymore.
Exactly. Those principles are still very much alive.
Okay. So let's try to sum up what we've learned about Fisher.
Okay.
First, strict scrutiny in affirmative action cases was a really tough standard.
Oh, yeah.
And universities had to show a ton of evidence to prove that they were meeting both parts of it.
Both prongs, yeah.
Yeah.
The compelling interest and the narrow tailoring.
Right.
High bar. Second, the court said that diversity is a good thing for education.
Yeah, they agreed on that.
But they put a lot of conditions on it.
Right. It wasn't a blank check.
Exactly.
They had to be really specific about how they were going to achieve it.
Third, universities had to prove that considering race was the only way to get the diversity they wanted.
Right. They had to show that they had explored all other options.
And those options didn't work.
Exactly. Okay. And lastly, even though Fisher II said UT's policy was okay at the time, the 2023 Students for Fair Admissions decision changed everything.
Man, the whole new ballgame.
But Fisher is still a really important case for understanding how the court thought about this issue before.
For sure, it's a landmark case.
And how the law has evolved.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess the big question now is, what are universities supposed to do if they still want to have diverse campuses?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
Like, can they just focus on things like socioeconomic background or where people come from geographically?
Yeah, but that's going to be enough.
And are those approaches going to face legal challenges of their own?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
It definitely feels like this whole issue of access and fairness in higher education is far from settled.
Oh, yeah. This conversation is going to continue for a long time.
So if anyone's interested in getting a better sense of how we got here,
yeah,
they should really check out some of the other big Supreme Court cases in this area.
For sure.
Like Bake and Grutter.
Yeah. Those are foundational.
Yeah, they give you the whole picture.
They really do.
Well, thanks for taking this deep dive into Fisher with me.
Of course.
It's a complicated case, but I think we managed to break down some of the main legal ideas.
Yeah, I think so.
And see why it's so important for this whole conversation about affirmative action and equal opportunity.
It's a fascinating case.
Yeah.
And it's really relevant for anyone who's interested in how law and education and the fight for equality all come together.
Absolutely.
It's a big one.
Thanks again.
My pleasure.
To everyone listening, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Fisher v. University of Texas. It's a case with a lot of twists and turns, but hopefully we've helped shed some light on why it matters so much for the ongoing debate about fairness and access in higher education.
Absolutely. And for anyone who wants to keep learning, I definitely recommend checking out those related cases we mentioned, Bake and Grutter. They'll give you even more context for understanding the history and evolution of affirmative action in the U.S.
All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you later.